heard that those new Indianapolis Star offices they're building where Nordstrom used to be, I heard one of the reasons they knocked out some of the outer walls of Nordstrom to get a window was to make sure that columnist Matt Tully and editorial chief Tim Swearens and some of the people at the Indianapolis Star can be able to hear AM 1310 The Light when they move into Nordstrom in Circle Center Mall in 2 weeks. You know, if they had some reporters that knew people in the community, that knew what members of the City County Council actually looked like, if they actually had a reporter covering city county government, then they would already have done the interview that I'm about to do. Let me tell you what happened. Tuesday night, while I was out at Pike Township, out at the Pike Performing Arts Center with the mayor's night out, explaining his preschool and his anti-crime proposal, there was a hearing of the Administration and Finance Committee of the City County Council. It was live on Channel 16. They got a tape. You know, they keep tapes on Channel 16 like forever of different meetings, and they were discussing a number of issues, budgets for the county fair, cooperative extension, mental health centers, Channel 16's budget. Hope to get y'all gave them some more money. The information service, the IT people in city government, the council and the clerk. And there was only one proposal, proposal number 268, which proposed an ordinance of the Marion County Income Tax Council. We got an income tax house? To rescind the local homestead credit beginning in 2015 and cast the vote of the council on such ordinance. Angela Mansfield, counselor from the north side of the city, is chair of administration and finance, and she was dogged out, Drew, in the Star this morning by columnist Matt Tully, who didn't even go to the meeting. Probably wasn't even watching it on Channel 16. But he dogged out the chair, thought she was unfair, thought she was the worst committee chair ever in the history of Indianapolis. I've been here 40 years, and from what I understand, the meeting that Angela Mansfield chaired, I've seen much more crowded meetings. I've seen meetings that went off the hook that looked like something on Desperate Wives on Bravo or VH1. And this was much civil. Anyway, the chair of that committee, Angela Mansfield, joins me live. Angela, welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Amos.
All right. This was a hearing that your committee held Tuesday night to wrap up some budget proposals of other county agencies that are going to be dealt with on Monday night in the master budget meeting of the council.
Yes, correct. There were six budget hearings, and we're required to go through those to make our process through the budget cycle.
Whenever there, in terms of the process, whenever a budget, a proposal in terms of budget, a county or a city agency presents their budget, is public testimony taken at the same time the committee is hearing from city or county officials about their budget?
Yes. As I go through each of the budgets, and the other committee chairs do the same thing, we take public testimony at the time that each of those presentations have been made.
Now, I understand earlier, it was either the early part of this month or the latter part of last month, the council approved, I think it was like a $100,000 appropriation to go to United Way to help deal with quality preschool under the state of Indiana. The governor and the legislature approved an experimental program for quality preschool in about five counties in Indiana, and Marion County is one of those. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, and we got a substantial amount of matching dollars for that. And it passed the council. I can't remember what the actual vote was, but it passed with flying colors.
Were there lots of people, parents and kids, at those council meetings when the council provided those matching funds for quality preschool, pre-K under the state's plan?
I don't recall at the full council meeting that there being a lot of people on that particular proposal. They could have been at the committee, and that's not a committee that I'm a member of, but not at the full council meeting.
You deal with administration and finance. What is the charge of your committee?
Basically, we deal with the city and county budgets, proposals that relate to those items, you know, appropriations, that sort of thing.
So let me give an example. When it's time for the fire department budget or the police department budget, does your committee hear testimony on those budgets, or does that go to another committee?
That goes to Public Safety Criminal Justice Committee.
Okay. So if someone is reviewing the budget of the mayor's charter school office, would that go to your committee because it's dealing with dollars, or does that go to another committee?
Under the ordinance, it's required to go to the Public Policy and Rules Committee, mm-hmm. although there has been some instances where it goes before the Community Affairs Committee, mm-hmm. but they do not come before Admin Finance Committee.
So if there was any proposal that committed the city county government to do anything on education, if somebody wanted to buy a school building from IPS or Warren Township, if somebody wanted to change the rules of charter schools, if somebody wanted to have some new educational initiative that costs some money, would that normally come to your committee?
No, that would have gone to Public Policy and Rules Committee. Mm-hmm. But like I said, there has been some entertainment of certain things by community affairs, but things you just outlined, that reach such a magnitude that it goes to the Public Policy Committee.
All right. So you had before you, besides these budget hearings for these agencies, you had proposal number 268 that proposed an ordinance of the Marion County Income Tax Council to rescind the local homestead credit beginning in calendar year 2015 and cast the vote of the council on such ordinance. What is the Marion County Income Tax Council, and can I get Drew on it? That sounds like a good gig. What is that?
Excuse me?
What is the Marion County Income Tax Council?
Oh, that's a basically a number of individuals who represent the various local governments and mm-hmm. units throughout the county.
Mm-hmm. So this ordinance would have allowed this income tax council that represents, I guess, the city. Would Lawrence be represented? Speedway, mm-hmm. Beech Grove? Would school districts be represented on it?
Yes, because okay, they're all impacted by an elimination of the credit.
And so if basically this ordinance would allow this group, even though they would lose money in the deal, to rescind the homestead credit.
Yes.
Is this the first time such a proposal had been brought before your committee?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, last year mm-hmm. it came forward to us at least two times mm-hmm. Because, again, kind of like what happened this year, the first time it came through, it failed. Mm-hmm. It failed at the full council level. And so the mayor introduced it again mm-hmm. last year, and it failed both times.
So with this proposal, does the language in the proposal, because the paragraph I just read is like the summary of what's supposed to be in the proposal, correct?
Correct.
Does the proposal say we're doing all of this so we can fund early childhood education for the next 4 years?
Absolutely not. It's purely just an elimination of the homestead credit. If you read the actual proposal language, there is no mention of preschool. There's no mention of pre-K. There's no mention of where the money's going to go, period.
There's no mention of where the money's going to go.
Correct.
So let's take this, move this off to the side for a minute. If a proposal was before your committee that said, I want to propose taking money out of the Parks Department budget and go spend it to build a giant tent on Monument Circle for the month of May. And the only people using that tent are going to be the Shriners. If that came to your committee and your committee was considering it, it was time for public testimony. If somebody got up and started to speak about the Rock Center or something that wasn't germane to what was in the proposal, would that be allowed?
No, we would basically redirect them to stay on the topic matter and not to get off onto tangents or unrelated issues.
All right. So when the official notice of the meeting was sent out, it had the proposal listed first, and it had the budget hearings for all of these other agencies. Does that mandate the order in which things are considered?
Well, that was the way it was initially published last week.
Mm-hmm.
And due to some other considerations on Monday, I had revised the agenda to have the proposal, which I considered to be redundant because mm-hmm. we've already dealt with it before, mm-hmm. to have it come last.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another reason why I did that. We unfortunately have some committee members who are notorious for not staying for all the budget hearings.
Mm-hmm. No. So you wanted the members of your committee to stay to show respect to Channel 16 and the Information Service Agency and Cooperative Extension.
Absolutely.
And I understand a number of those agencies wanted to be respectful of your time, and they came with videos that kind of summarized instead of making a long speech for 15 or 20 minutes.
Right. And many of the presentations that were made on Tuesday, those individuals are not city employees. They're not part of the administration. So I wanted to be respectful of their time, because the previous Admin Finance Committee meeting we had a couple proposals that we dealt with. Well, that just pushes back all of the budget hearings.
Okay.
And quite frankly, some of those proposals, you know, from a couple weeks ago, they could have been dealt with after the budget. You know, I was trying to give deference to other folks.
All right, so you went through all these budget hearings, and now it was time to deal with proposal number 268. And so at that point, you called it up. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then the council president, who serves on the committee, wanted to make a motion, and you recognized her.
Correct.
What did she do?
She moved to table the motion, and I forget exactly who seconded it. It might have been Joe Simpson. Councilor Joe Simpson had seconded. And
Hold on a second. So you opened up the floor. You recognized Councilwoman Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
She moved to table.
Correct.
Someone, maybe Councilor Simpson, moved to second.
Correct.
Does the council follow Robert's Rules of Order?
Yes.
So people that are listening that use Robert's Rules of Order on their church board or their lodge or their organization or their PTO meeting, so you follow the rule that if someone makes a motion to table and it's seconded, everything stops to cast a vote?
Yes, because there's no discussion on a motion to table.
So there was no way of even opening up to any discussion among council members or discussion from the members of the public. This was a motion to table.
Correct.
Could a member of the committee, because I understand after the meeting was over with, Councilor Ben Hunter, Republican, got loud and upset, saying that the members of the public weren't being allowed to speak. Could Councilor Hunter have raised a point of order at the point in which the motion to table was introduced, saying, wait a minute, a point of order, there are people here that may want to testify, can we hold off on tabling till we hear them? Could he have raised a point of order?
He could have raised it, but again, there's no discussion on a motion to table. So unless there had been a withdrawing of the motion by the person who entered that motion, he would have been denied to continue discussion on that.
If the motion to table had failed, had lost,
yes,
would the proposal still be on the floor?
Yes.
Would then discussion among members of the committee and members of the public, could that have occurred?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but then let me ask this, because the impression that Matt Tully left were that all of these parents and supposedly there were children there, were denied the opportunity to talk about the pre-K proposal. If somebody had started talking about the glories and the wonders of pre-K and fourth graders, would that discussion have been in order if you're telling me the proposal said nothing about pre-K or education?
No, they needed to stick to the topic matter, and it is the elimination of the homestead credit.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it beyond that is making assumptions as to how the council would act down the road with regards to those funds.
You've been on the council how long?
10 years now.
Have there been instances before, whether Democrats were in the majority on a committee or Republicans that were in the majority, when a proposal came up, there were people there ready to speak on the proposal, and somebody moved to table?
Yes, many, many, many times.
Many times?
Many times.
And what did those people do when the motion to table? Did they get upset and yell and scream and go run to the Indianapolis Star and to Matt Tully or Tim Swearens or the television station?
No, actually what they would do is they'd actually talk to the counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, a lot of times, if anybody had approached me, and again, they could have done this prior to the meeting, and if they had asked, do you anticipate there's going to be public testimony, I would have told them what I would have thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's never any guarantee because I'm just one of many votes. You know.
So no one from Stand for Children or any of the organizations concerned about this whole preschool and funding came to you even before the meeting, before you pounded the gavel and said, Madam Chair, what's going to happen to this? Is this, you know, are we going to get an opportunity? Do we have time to go get dinner and come back, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock? What's going to happen?
Absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, on Monday, I had called Justin Olemiller, who's the executive director of Stand for Children, and left him a voice message to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And he did not give me the courtesy of a return phone call. He also had ample opportunity after the meeting to talk to me because I was in the room.
Somebody said that Matt Tully left the impression that you hightailed it out, that you skedaddled, that you fled, that you hopped on the first plane somewhere.
Well, I hope the video captured that as well. And then I also know that Fox 59 has some camera activity to show otherwise.
Wait, I understand you talked to Fox 59?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
In the room.
In the room.
In the room.
In the council room.
In the room.
Wait a minute. Isn't Fox 59 the news gathering partner of the Indianapolis Star? Aren't they supposed to be hanging together with a new form of journalism in this city? Don't the people at the Star talk to the folk at Fox 59? Don't the people at the camera person at Fox 59 should call back to Matt? I got the councilwoman on tape.
239-1310.
They didn't do that.
No.
So afterwards, very quickly afterwards, there was a press release by Kyle Walker, the chair of the Marion County Republican committee, saying that the actions of the committee was horrendous and the typical stuff that Kyle Walker always says. The fact that he got it out so quickly, does that lead you to believe that they kind of knew this was going, or suspected this was going to happen, and they had the press release already ready with your name on it?
Absolutely, because I had told the administration twice, I think last week, as well as maybe even Monday, but I know at least twice, that I was not going to allow another presentation because it would be redundant to what had already been presented before public safety.
Mm-hmm.
I had an interview with Mary Mills, and mm-hmm. I told Mary Mills that I anticipated that it would be, you know, if not tabled, voted down.
Channel 13 knew that? The Star's former news gathering partner.
And the Star's reporter, John Toohey, mm-hmm. knew that because I told him that a few mm-hmm. days before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hide things. I'm up front with folks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask me something, I'll give you a straight answer.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. So now this proposal is considered tabled, correct?
Yes.
It could come off the table Monday night.
It could.
By anybody.
It takes 15 votes for it to come off the
table. But a Republican could wave their hand wildly and council president recognize them and say, Madam President, I move 268 off the table.
Absolutely.
And if they get a second, then would it be up for discussion and people could come and testify on that?
Well, no. First, you'd have to get it on the agenda by a vote of 15 or more.
Ooh, so it needs 15.
Yes.
Matt Tully needs to find 15 counselors, which means he'd have to find some Democrats in order to do that.
Yes.
And assume all the Republicans would go along with it.
Yes.
239-1310. Let me start with Ramona. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I had a comment, but I was listening to you all, and I think I have a question. So, am I hearing this right that the proposal did not include anything regarding kindergarten? It just included eliminating the homestead tax credit.
Yes, it was just purely elimination of the homestead credit. There was no mention whatsoever to any type of education.
So if that would have went through, then that means that they could have done whatever they wanted to with the funding from the homestead tax credit, correct?
You are absolutely right. And to add to that, there were several Republicans in the last council meeting, as well as statements made afterwards, who said, I'm supporting the elimination of the homestead credit, but I don't necessarily want it to go to pre-K.
Well, there's a good thing here that it did not go through, because then they could take that money and doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to spend it on pre-K. I think that's why there are so many reservations when the mayor offers to do things, because they don't do it the way it should be done. If you're going to spend it on pre-K, spend it on kindergarten. But if you're not, then the public needs to know that, because it's only a certain amount of us that are actually going to be paying for that anyway.
All right, good points. I appreciate it. Let me go to Larry at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, you know, the counselors are right there outside the council office and the committee room chambers to talk to people after the unfortunate situation. But the thing of it is, chief executives has transferred over $32 million out of the public safety budget to the general fund. This is why they want this $30 million increase. Not to help the kids in any way, but they want this to cover their behinds because they know that they've misappropriated over $32 million from public safety. Roy Riggs have made the transfer of that money, and you'll find out that it's in the general fund now. So what they want to do is use unfortunate kids to get them in a situation where they say, we get this money just like the public safety grant before for $5 million. It started out at $5 million, went to $2 million, now it's $1 million. They're using the money for other purposes unrelated. So I'm glad they tabled the motion. And I'm sure it won't come up Monday night, but if it does, I know there's something funny going on. But they done the appropriate thing that night by tabling that motion, and there was nobody there except for a couple of people from Stanford Children with their blue T-shirts on and so forth. And I'm sure that the one bird that was there from Stanford Children, their director, could have asked the question even before he came down there and found out what was going to happen.
Let me go to John.
It was not in Amos.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was not germane to a process where you're going to eliminate a tax credit. They should keep on point. They didn't want to do that.
All right, let me go to Jocelyn at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos.
Hi.
I sat through that three-hour hearing, and I was there to speak on supporting keeping the homestead tax credit. So I have no problem with them table it so it wouldn't be voted on. But I was there representing the African American Republican Council in Marin County, and we are in support of leaving the tax credit in check, intact for our elderly people who own homes and who can't afford their tax increase. And we did not know that they were not going to vote on it or either have public for the record.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, people should have been allowed to speak so that the mayor can get a clear message and not play politics with it. Because so far, nobody in the public has really been on record in support in leaving that homestead tax credit intact.
All right, good point. One other thing, Jocelyn, because you've been around a while, and I know you're very good on parliamentary procedure.
I am a parliamentarian.
I know you are. I know you are. So when a motion to table is introduced, everything stops till it's disposed of. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's Davis. So before I get to what's going to happen Monday night, this situation with this Justice Center where the administration has borrowed from Peter to pay Paul, they're entering into a request for proposals that has not been made public, which is a clear-cut violation of state law. The Marion County Auditor says she ain't paying none of the bills. How much money allegedly has been committed for this Justice Center, and could this fund a year or two of this pre-K?
Well, that's a really good open question. I probably back up a little bit for folks who don't know, but we found a couple months ago that the administration had entered into $12.6 million of consulting contracts that did not have appropriations to back them up. And clearly that's in violation of state law, and technically those contracts are void. And then at one of my admin committee meetings when the bond bank was doing its budget hearing presentation, President Lewis asked an excellent question, which kind of caught some of us off guard. She said, have you all paid any of these fees from the bond bank?
Mm-hmm.
And much to our amazement, the answer was yes. And I remember asking, what authority? Well, we'll have to get back with you. And so I had the council attorney look into it.
Mm-hmm.
They had no authority. They have to have council approval before they do something like that.
So wait a minute. We got a city spending money without the approval of council?
Yes.
If the President of the United States did that, they'd be hollering impeachment.
Yes.
So Monday night is some critical decisions that have to be made on the budget. Is the budget being approved Monday night, or is this the next to final step?
It's probably the next to final step. It's going to be the public testimony that's taken on the various budgets that have been heard in all of the committees. And even though we take public testimony at the committee level, we're required to take it at the full council level.
So people can come, for example, and talk about the police budget and putting more police on the street. They can come talk about the fire department. They can talk about all of the parts of city, county government.
Yes.
And, but because the pre-K proposal has never been introduced and there's nothing in the city budget for it, it can't be talked about Monday night.
Well, that's the key thing. There is no pre-K proposal. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I see that some of the media has really confused people to believe that there is.
There is nothing that has been introduced that says the city of Indianapolis has committed to fund 1,300 four-year-olds voucher slots for quality preschool for 4 years.
There is nothing that's been introduced. The only thing that you're hearing is the mayor talking about what he would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, and even some of the people of his own party are not backing that.
So if no funding is approved, if the homestead credit remains intact, then there is nothing to stop the city or others from doing pre-K another way.
That's correct. They could introduce a proposal that actually does specifically address pre-K and bring that forward. But at this point, there's nothing before us.
But there was the proposal to put more police on the street and raise the public safety income tax. That is a proposal that is in the police budget. That's in the budget.
Well, that increase got passed at the last council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't mind me,
yeah, okay.
Many of my constituents incurred a tax increase this past year. Because of the expansion of the special police district.
Because people now in the townships are paying the cost for IMPD that they weren't paying before. Because
Correct.
There was a mistake.
Well, actually, yeah. We used to just be covered by sheriff.
Right.
And when they went through the consolidation, some of us, and I was one of them, mm-hmm. pushed back on that because we were concerned that our tax dollars were going to have to go towards these unfunded pensions
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we never received the benefit from.
Right.
And so that's why it didn't happen then. And I do believe, as a matter of fairness, those of us receiving the services should be paying. But, I mean, my own taxes went up 16%. And mm-hmm. I don't have a fancy house. I have a very modest home.
Okay.
And because of the tax increase for the police that we're going to affect next year,
mm-hmm.
if they would have added the homestead credit elimination to that, my constituents would have incurred $50 to $150 per homeowner of an increase.
And your north side, basically north of 71st up to 96, the Nora area, the area around St. Luke's, going over toward?
It's a little bit further. Mine actually, my eastern boundary is Spring Mill Road.
Okay.
And I go down to about 62nd Street.
How far west do you go over? Over to Harcourt Township?
Well, Rotabaugh, which is in Pike Township.
Okay.
Kind of
College,
Michigan Road,
College
Township
Park.
Line. Yeah, it's not a straight line on that
okay.
one, but
right.
but it has parts of Pike Township as well as Washington Township.
All right, so those the few of you who still read the Indianapolis Star, because most of the people listening to this program don't read the newspaper, so you really don't know what we're talking about. But now you've heard the rest of the story from the chair of the Administration and Finance Committee, City County Councilor Angela Mansfield, on what actually happened in the meeting and the local homestead credit, the proposal to get rid of it, is now tabled. And in order for it to come off the table to be discussed, somebody has to come up with 15 votes. And I hear all the Democrats ain't down with that. So they got to find 13 Republicans and beg up on a couple of Democrats. And there's a couple of Republicans that I think will hang with the Democrats to keep the homestead credit intact. So that, I think we have a better chance of the Colts winning the next two or three games. And that happens. Angela Mansfield, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much.